Rogers & Hollins is the oldest and largest family-owned jeweler in the country, and they stand behind everything they sell. They have an amazing selection of engagement rings, and they know everything about jewelry. And they're the only fine jeweler who offers lifetime repair and replacement against loss of diamonds or gemstones with no inspection required, ever.
Rogers and Hollins, jewelry created for now and forever.
Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Charles Mudd and Startup Radio, and I have to say, on this January 11th, 2017, it's been a while since we've had a live broadcast and interview, but today is the first day that we are going to do so in the new year 2017, and I'm really excited about our guests, and I'll get to that in just a moment, but I do want to say that Startup Radio started nearly 5 years ago, coming up in February. And I want to thank all of the prior guests. We've been rebroadcasting some of those episodes. They're all available on Blog Talk Radio. They're also available through iTunes, Podcast Startup Radio. And Startup Radio in 2017 is proud to be part of the STEM Dadia Network. I'd like to shout out to our sister shows, Gaming Chords, which actually one of our guests here today has actually appeared on Gaming Chords, and then also STEM Dadia Voices. And the purpose of STEM Dadia Voices is to reach out and provide to our audience and the widespread world voices in science, technology, engineering, and math. And that's generally here the idea behind STEM Dadia Network, and as I said, I'm proud that Startup Radio is a member of that network. Here today, though, we're going to move to talking about, I don't know if they'd call it a business yet, but our guests, Ronnie Farhat and Zane Lodia, are going to talk about their podcast, Everything Vive. And Ronnie, you were actually on Gaming Chords. You and I have chatted before, isn't that correct?
I was. This is not my first my first rodeo.
Well, I'm glad to have you back. And Zane, I've heard a lot of good things about you and your podcast with Ronnie. Everything Vive, how did this come about? And I guess before I let you guys answer that question, just for the audience to set the tone, you guys, are the Vive is the HTC Vive, the virtual reality headset. Basically, probably, I would say, the biggest competitor of the Oculus Rift right now. At least those seem to be the two major players out there. There are smaller and so forth. But how did Everything Vive come about, Ronnie?
Yeah. So I actually that might be something better for Zane to talk about, because I guess I'll preface the story of the podcast by saying that I got a Vive close to launch, and I had been showing it to a lot of friends. It's really an amazing device. It I think we talked about on Gaming Chords a little bit previously, but the HTC Vive, kind of the big takeaway and special feature that it has that kind of goes above and beyond the other VR headsets out there, is that it allows for room-scale virtual reality experiences. And for those who are kind of, new to VR, what room-scale virtual reality allows you to do is it allows you to basically use large open spaces in the real world to actually create a space for you to move around in the virtual space. So rather than, having to be physically in one location and kind of move your head around to experience the virtual reality, you can actually walk around in your room, and trackers will sense where you are, where you're moving, and then you'll be moving in the virtual space the same way. So I guess that's
well,
so I had my.
Let me interrupt you there for a second, Ronnie, sure. And let's get Zane to come in and say, Zane, how did this podcast come to be? How did you start? Because I've heard, and I not only have heard, but I've your podcast has really become popular in this kind of community. So where did the idea come from? Why jump on board with Ronnie, and why a podcast?
Sure. Well, first off, Charles, just want to say thanks again for having us on. Really appreciate it. And I guess the story for the podcast, Ronnie got his Vive at launch, and I'm completely new to virtual reality, a total newbie. I wasn't even following the industry at all, but our wives know each other, and so we went over for dinner one night. My wife was telling me, oh, they have some VR thing, and I had tried Google Cardboard, and I was like, okay, whatever, it's fine. Like, I've done that before, but, you know, I go in, I try the HTC Vive, and I'm completely blown away by it. So I immediately get one myself and start just what's the word I'm looking for here? I just start consuming all the information that I can about it and learning about VR, learning about specifically the HTC Vive. And Ronnie and I had kind of, you know, just in our conversations, we were like, I was thinking, if we just start recording these, like, they can be used as a podcast. But going back actually a little bit further than that, I'm a big podcast junkie, and I know Ronnie is as well. And so as soon as I started trying to consume all of this information and news about VR and virtual reality, I noticed that there wasn't a podcast specifically devoted to the HTC Vive. There are some VR ones out there, or virtual reality based ones, but there wasn't anything that was very, very like niche focused on the Vive. And so I guess in the vein of, you know, good startup ideas, it was more so just kind of scratching your own itch and seeing that, okay, I'm looking for something that isn't there. So why not create one? Because I know I'm not going to be the only person that's looking for something like this. And so Ronnie and I mean, it's because he showed me the Vive in the first place, and we knew each other as friends before that. And it was one of those things where might as well just start recording our conversations, and we can kind of structure them and kind of go as we go along. And, you know, we just posted our 47th episode today, after about, I want to say 4 or 5 months of doing this. And, you know, it's been amazing just to see how much we've been able to grow the community, and how much we've been able to give back to the community in terms of what we're doing now. So it really was just a very organic kind of idea that came around. And like I said, just scratching your own itch and finding an idea that way.
Well, it's really interesting. I mean, Ronnie, so it sounds like you are the VR guy, but in terms of, what is the frequency? Like, do you all do it every day, every other day?
So we normally post 3 episodes a week, and I've tried to be very diligent with this. As Ronnie knows, I'm usually on his case about it. Sorry, Ronnie.
Very, very true.
And it was one of those, like, you know, we're the first ones here specifically devoted to the Vive, and I wanted to make sure we built a solid foundation and just a community around what we were trying to do in case, you know, any other podcast came up. And so we usually have, I guess, so there's 3 episodes a week. We usually have an episode that covers any kind of VR or Vive-centric news. And we've, as the podcast has grown, we've actually gotten much more niche-focused just because VR in general mm-hmm. seems to be really expanding at a rapid rate right now. And so I want us to be able to stay focused.
Incredible
on,
rate, right?
It really has. And so just because there's, like, you're always going to find a million different articles about all these different headsets and VR technologies that are coming out, I would like us to stay focused on the Vive just because that's what we have, or at least for me personally, what I have the most experience with since I have that headset in my own home.
Yeah.
But we usually do a news episode. Oh, sorry, Ronnie, what was that?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, and yeah, really there's enough out there. I feel like each of these, I mean, right now there's only a few major players in the VR space, and HTC has been great about that. They've really been focused in, you know, expanding their own business. So as we've had the podcast, we've also kind of seen virtual reality and specifically the HTC Vive market itself kind of growing and maturing. And so we've kind of, you know, been riding that wave as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
well, that's really interesting. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to finish and say that we also do like a game talk episode where we talk about different games and experiences that are out there. But I would say that the most interesting thing that we've done to date is we started interviewing developers, and specifically game developers right now. But I'd like to transition to development in general, just because I think there are a lot of enterprise solutions that can be solved with VR. But it's actually been fascinating for someone like myself. I mean, Ronnie's definitely ahead of me in terms of what he knows about VR and how he's been following it. But it's been fascinating for me to just kind of get like a behind the scenes look from the experts that are delivering these experiences.
Yeah, no, I mean, just to piggyback that. Go ahead.
If I could jump in, I wanted to ask you about that, Zane, and maybe Ronnie, you can chime in as well, but how did it go from, and for the viewers that, you know, are, because the reason that I wanted the two of you on, you know, Startup Radio is while it's not necessarily a business, it is an endeavor that you've started, and in that sense, you are kind of dealing with some of the same things that many of my prior startup guests have talked about, and people thinking about doing projects, endeavors, businesses out there. And so we've talked a little bit about the initial concept and how Ronnie was the VR guy. You're meeting over dinner. You talk about the technology. It sounds really cool. Zane, you're the podcast guy. Not that Ronnie doesn't listen to podcasts or anything like that. But so you put your two heads together, and the podcast is born, and it's the two of you talking technology and HTC Vive. But how did that, from that point, how did you start to get your guests? And you know, I can chime in with what I've done in the past on various shows, including this, Startup Radio. But I want to hear, how did you get from the decision, you know, from the two of you to let's have guests and then actually getting the guests on the show? Which of you wants to tackle that first?
Yeah, I think Zane would be definitely
the
best, but he's kind of, you know, been the launch pad for most of that stuff, so.
Yeah, sure. So I would say that the decision came maybe a week or two into the podcast, because I saw that we were already starting to get some downloads, and this is without any type of promotion, not even to my friends' network, just because nobody that I knew aside from Ronnie had a virtual reality headset or even knew about, you know, VR, I guess, in the same way that he did or that I did. And so since there was no way for us to really, I guess, get out there in an organic way or even just an advertised way, I started looking, I guess, at other podcasts, really successful podcasts that kind of adopt that mentality of bringing in guests to interview, because then all of a sudden, you know, you bring in the guests to interview and they get to share it with their network. So it just seemed like a much more organic way to help the podcast grow. And of course, you know, any person that would be, or any developer or any interview guest that would be coming in would be sharing that with people who would also be interested in the space, meaning that whoever they did share it with would already have a natural interest in what we were doing with our show. And so, I mean, honestly, in terms of getting the guests, we started small. I literally cold emailed several developers and said, "Hey, we're a podcast. We're dedicated to the Vive." And this is before the Oculus Touch came out. And just to clarify, like the Oculus Touch, they came out with their motion controllers as well. So it became, I guess, more of a competitor or a rival to the Vive at that point. And this was in December. But we had started the show, I want to say, in September sometime. And since there was such a big difference in how each unit, the Vive and the Rift, could be utilized, there were developers that were specifically focused on the Vive at that time. And so, you know, just reaching out to them saying, "Hey, we're a Vive-focused podcast, and we just want to help give like a behind the scenes look, help promote your game." And, you know, we were reaching out on games or experiences that we really liked. And so it really just kind of helped in that sense, because we were naturally interested in the people that we were talking to and the products that they made. And so it kind of grew from there. As we got more and more guests, as we got more and more high profile guests, it became easier to start securing, you know, bigger developers or bigger development teams out there.
Sure. Yeah, so Ronnie, do you have anything to add on that? And then I want to circle back because I would argue that the Oculus was a competitor prior to the Oculus Touch coming out, but I hear what you're saying, that, you know, with some of the technology, Oculus is catching up to what the HTC Vive had. But and then we can talk about, you know, other things related to that. But, Ronnie, what has been your experience with having the guests on your podcast and how that's benefited the growth of the podcast itself?
Sure. So, yeah, first, I guess just to echo what Zane had already said about what it was like to kind of organically grow the guests, as far as, you know, go from kind of the lower profile to, you know, getting more and more people on the show. It really was kind of that slow burn, you know, talk to who you can and work from there. As far as my experience with the guest it's really just been such a pleasure to talk to people that are so passionate about the industry. And I think that was the biggest thing. I mean, especially when you're an enthusiast in a certain market, you know, thinking about that market as being kind of this untouchable, you know, something that you enjoy being a part of, but that you might not necessarily think that you're able to contribute to. I mean, for me, I've been a huge, you know, video games fan and virtual reality fan and technology fan in general for years and years. But it wasn't until, you know, Zane and I started the podcast that I really ever got a sense that I could truly be a part of it. And I say that, you know, hoping to encourage other people out there that have passions for certain types of products out there or certain industries, that, you know, it's never too late and it's never too difficult for you to get involved. Like Zane was saying, I mean, it was just a matter of really reaching out and taking a gamble to try to see if people would be willing to talk to us. And once they were, I mean, we're talking to, you know, some of the developers behind some of the biggest and most exciting games in virtual reality today. So, you know, if people like me and Zane are able to do that, really anyone else can. And I think speaking to kind of, you know, what Zane had mentioned about kind of what the development cycle looked like pre and post Oculus Touch, I think what he was getting at was kind of the fact that, you know, prior to December, if you were developing a game for the HTC Vive, it was really kind of a unique set of challenges and unique type of software that you were creating, because back then it was the only platform that really had natively supported motion controllers and the room scale technology, like I mentioned. So if you're going to develop for VR, you kind of had to pick your poison. Kind of, did you want to, you know, solely work on something that was going to be compatible for the Vive, or were you going to, you know, make something that worked more with the Oculus, or even to some extent now these mobile platforms are kind of a whole different ballpark as well. So since December, things have expanded, because now developers and right around the time when that was coming out, we were speaking to some of these developers, like the developers behind Rec Room or Smashbox, a lot of these big titles out there. These developers were getting super excited because they had been working on these games previously, and with the release of the Oculus Touch, they were actually able to start cross-development so that they could release their games for both the Vive and the Oculus. So that's kind of where, since December, a lot of the people we've been talking to kind of are kind of stretched across both platforms now. And you're seeing more and more virtual reality titles start to do that, where they're kind of, you know, supporting everyone rather than just one or the other platform.
Well, we're starting to dive in more to definitely the technology, and I'm excited about that, because I want to ask about, you know, what you all have seen, whether you see, you know, on the HTC Vive, whether people picked up the API for, like, the upcoming Omni, and whether the Omni is even kind of needed for the HTC Vive. But before we get into that segment of the program, I wanted to ask, what if you two have had difficulties, what are some of the difficulties that you've had in terms of operating and running your podcast?
Well, if you want to go, Zane, you can start.
Sure. That's a tough question to answer. I guess the biggest thing, honestly, has just been the logistics of it and getting good audio quality, and then also just scheduling the time. I mean, since this is something that both Ronnie and I are doing on the side.
To me seemed that, you know, I was waiting to see if the two of you would mention that. And on top of the fact that, as you mentioned in the beginning of the show, coming to dinner where both your wives knew one another, and it would seem to me, being married myself, that, you know, my adding one more project onto my plate, particularly 3 times a week, which is ambitious, and I am impressed, it would seem that the time management aspect certainly might be a hurdle that maybe you still kind of struggle with. What are your thoughts?
You know, I'll actually chime in, because one thing that Zane kind of told me early on, you know, when we just had the idea of maybe doing a podcast and we weren't super sure. And you know, there were, you know, a couple weeks there where we were kind of figuring out whether this was something that we were really going to jump into or not. And the thing that he always kept phoning home was just the idea that, you know, get rid of any barriers of entry that you might have. You know, if there's something that, you know, seems too difficult or something that, you know, don't worry about it. Just simplify and let's just do something. Let's just start something. And once you get started, then go the next step. And I think that's kind of, I mean, for us, we didn't really set out necessarily to, you know, right from day one, say, okay, we're going to shoot for 3 podcasts a week and we're going to do these. Like, we literally just started with what was simple. And soon after that, we kind of just started, you know, figuring out what we thought would work. And still to this day, I mean, anytime, like, to work around our schedules, and I'll let Zane go in a second. We try to, again, make it as easy as possible. If we experimented with recording on the road, we experimented with, you know, recording over the phone, anything to make it easier for us to be able to get together at the times that we need to in order to get something recorded. So, Zane, do you want to jump on that?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I can definitely echo that. I definitely remember that conversation, because for me, you know, the only way to keep going is if there's, like, low barriers to entry or low barriers just in general. And, you know, I told Ronnie, I think this initially started off as an idea to create a YouTube channel, just because
yep.
we had seen so much cool content on YouTube. And, you know, just the idea of having to kind of get prepared in front of a camera, deal with audio and video. I remember that when we were about to record for the first time, you know, that conversation came up about the barriers. And I said, you know what, let's just do this as a podcast. Let's just do audio only, because I know video will get in the way. And if we expand to that in the future, it's totally something we can keep on the radar and as an option. But right now, let's keep it to audio. Audio only, and just roll with a podcast and see what kind of feedback we get, see what kind of momentum we can build. And then as we started going, initially we would meet up. We try to meet up once a week to record, you know, and batch our 3 episodes out for that week. But schedules get crazy. And, you know, like you said, it's just, all the personal time, especially during the holidays, we started experimenting with doing these podcasts over the phone. I'm the one who records them. I have the audio equipment at my place. So if Ronnie can't make it over, then we'll just do a phone call and, you know, work on the sound quality for that, try to get the best quality that we can. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I think what we were trying to do is make sure that we could put out 3 episodes a week, no matter what. And that would, I mean, it would still have to be quality content. And we tried to make sure that we were, you know, honest about that and not just putting out stuff to put out stuff, but making sure that we had content that we thought would be appreciated, that would be well received. But at the end of the day, it's just like by any means necessary. And so we've definitely seen some shifts as we've gone along in terms of our process. I mean, mm-hmm. if and when we can, we definitely record everything live and in the same area or in the
yep.
same, I guess, studio, which studio meaning my living room. But but you know, if we can't, we always try to find another way. And I mean, there were some podcasts episodes where Ronnie might have been, I think he was out of town, so I did a couple solo, or I did an interview solo. So again, it was more so just creating that content and making sure we were diligent about staying with our schedule, because what I realized and what Ronnie and I have talked about is that you don't realize that people start to expect things when you put it out on the schedule. And so, you know, when we did miss like a day or two here, we'd get some feedback on Reddit or something, be like, hey, why wasn't this up yesterday? Or, you know, and so that just helped keep us a little bit more honest to make sure we were sticking with the schedule. And actually it was very motivating and encouraging for us, because we knew we had people listening, and we knew we had people looking forward to the episodes and the content that we were putting out.
Well, before we get further into the show, let's take a moment to let people know where they might find Everything Vive. So where can people find and listen to the two of you talk HTC Vive?
Sure. So we are up on iTunes. We're up on Stitcher. I think those are the two big platforms. And then we also post all of the episodes, just the audio only, of course, on YouTube as well. So if people, you know, whatever format people prefer, you can go and find it there. And then we've also started trying to build out our YouTube channel by doing some gameplay videos, especially a lot of the games that we cover, whether it's in an interview or whether it's in just a game talk or game review type of episode. You know, we'll usually just record some type of gameplay just to give people a visual element to being able to help determine if it's a game that they want to get or experience that they want to go for, if it's paid or not.
Yeah, it's interesting, the YouTube channel doing that. It's interesting that, you know, my boys probably, although my oldest is into more advanced games and so forth, but I would say, you know, I was asking him the top games on his list, and Minecraft still is in the top there, and I would say it's in the top for both my sons, and we've gone to Minecon the last 2 years, and so, you know, they are totally entranced with YouTube videos. Dan TDM is the big, you know, totally the one in the house that is probably played the most often, and watching the gameplay, watching him do that. And it is a certain market that, or a certain demographic rather, that finds the YouTube videos, the gameplay, very interesting. And just, you know, I think that that's a fantastic area. Now, I do want to turn to the technology and kind of what you all are seeing in the growth of VR, and since you're focused just on VR, you know, in fact, we've seen some people catch on and follow us already that are enthusiasts of VR and AR, augmented reality. But let's focus on virtual reality, and you know, I've been interested in virtual reality for some time. I was an original backer of the Oculus Rift when it first came out. I don't know, it's almost 5 years now itself, and the Omni. I'm still waiting for my Omni. But circling back to one of the questions that I foreshadowed, what are your thoughts on the Omni? And, of course, for the audience, I'll explain that the Virtuex Omni is a platform where it's a physical device, and obviously it has an API, it has code to go with it, but it's a physical device where it's an electronic treadmill, more or less, that you're able to run on, walk on, turn around 360 degrees. And one advantage, I think, with the HTC Vive, and correct me if I'm wrong, Zane and Ronnie, is the HTC Vive is cable-less. And of course, if you're connected to a computer with a cable connected to your Oculus or other headset, you really can turn 360 only so many times before you end up wrapped up like, you know, like a cartoon character or something. But the Omni allows that 360-degree movement. It keeps you locked in place, safety-wise, so that it eliminates some of the risk in using, for example, the Oculus Rift and bumping into furniture. I mean, people, as I've said before elsewhere and on other topics involving gameplay, if you're using virtual reality headsets, and I would argue that applies to the HTC Vive in any case, even with its technology, that you really do need to be aware of the surroundings, and you should always be doing it with someone in the room to make sure that, you're not going to bump into something or you're not going to get harmed, because we always want safe gameplay, and that's particularly for kids and children. But Zane, Ronnie, what are your thoughts on that kind of technology? Is the Omni relevant to the HTC Vive with its room sensing technology, or is it just a curiosity?
Yeah. Do you want me to go, Zane, or?
Yeah, I want to go ahead and take this one.
Sure. So my understanding, and I haven't done a ton of research on the Omni, but what I do know about it, I think it's more of, you know, less of a treadmill, more of like it essentially you're dragging your feet across a surface, and it's picking those up and translating that into motion.
Well, right. Yeah, let me jump in. Right, it's not an actual, and that's what I meant by electronic treadmill. It's not an actual treadmill. It's the thing that you're stepping on is actually physical, in place, stationary,
but
it's like a treadmill in that you can run, you can walk, you can set the same speed. But, yes, you need actually slippers or shoes that are specifically designed for the Omni. You slip those on. They need to be. You need to get the right size. So the adult shoes are not going to work for your kids. But, yes, you slip the shoes on, and it is the electronic, you know, the sensors in that are picking up the direction, the speed, and so forth, and translating that into the computer game so that if you're running in Minecraft, if you're running on the Omni in place, it's translating that to where you're running actually in the game, in the virtual game.
Yeah. So as far as it's like the relevancy of different types of hardware pieces and stuff like that. I mean, there's a lot of startups out there, I think, that have gotten a push and gotten excited about developing products for virtual reality. I think the Omni would probably work similarly with both platforms, in that, like, it maps more to games that involve locomotion. So locomotion has become more popular in even Vive games recently. It's where essentially you're able to control your character in the space without having to actually physically move around and without having to teleport. So it's basically like if you think of a normal game controller where you'd have a joystick and you can push your character forward, backwards, right, left, etc. There's a lot of virtual reality games right now that allow you to do that using some kind of a button or something on the controllers, whether that be in the Vive or the Oculus. And then you're basically using your head to move around. So those types of experiences, even with the room scale VR, environment for the Vive, are still present in some games because there are some advantages for having that type of movement. And I think what the Omni does is it kind of uses those inputs and then attaches that to that gliding surface. So you're basically using your feet almost to control what normally would be inputs from a controller. And so I think in that respect, it would work both, you know, with both platforms. I think in general, it's just really interesting and fascinating to see all of the startups that are out there that are bringing new types of possibilities to virtual reality. I mean, just a few months ago, a year ago, whatever, there were some things that Zane and I would talk about on the podcast that were literally pipe dreams, that were things that we were only thinking of, that we didn't think were really going to be coming to market anytime soon. And lo and behold, we're now only January 2017, and a lot of those things are coming to light. The big one that you mentioned, and it's kind of, you know, just to make it clear, the Vive, just like the Oculus Rift, does in fact have cables. With the Vive, you have really long cables to basically, you know, allow you to move as much as you can within that space. But unfortunately, due to latency mainly, all of the current virtual reality implementations that are high-end have to be physically connected to a computer. Well, you know, a year ago, if you would have asked me when we're going to see, you know, wireless types of VR experiences, I probably would have told you, you know, good luck. If you want wireless VR, you're going to have to step down and get a lesser experience, maybe something like, you know, Google Cardboard or the Gear VR, which is, you know, basically running off of a cell phone rather than a real computer. But, you know, there are several products out now by various startups that are going to be bringing wireless technology to these platforms. There's one that I think works with both, so you'd be able to hook it up to your Oculus or your Vive, though the latency on that system admittedly isn't as good. You might kind of notice a little bit of lag. But there's one in particular that's coming out now, coming out soon, I think in the next few months here in the U.S., called the TP-Cast. And that will allow you to basically connect to the Vive, this device that you get, and there's one extra sensor, but after that, you're completely wireless. And another kind of cool, you know, going back to interesting peripherals for virtual reality, HTC recently at the Computer Entertainment Show, CES, this year at 2017, they announced these little trackers that work with the HTC Vive system. They're kind of affectionately referred to as pucks because they look kind of like hockey pucks. But what these things let you do is these pucks are able to be tracked by the sensors just like the headset or the Vive controllers that are already released. And so what developers will be able to do is they'll be able to attach these pucks to real-world objects, so something like a baseball bat or like, you know, a fake fire hose or a chair. And once you attach it to that, if the developers program it, all of a sudden that item is now physically in the game as well. So you can imagine, I mean, some of the demos that they were showing off were literally, you know, setups like a fire hose, for example, where, you know, you're holding a real hose that's being tracked in VR, and in the virtual space you're putting out fires. And it really feels like you're actually physically doing that motion, you know, and all of that can be tracked using these special sensors. Same thing with baseball bat, I think. And so these are just some interesting things that, you know, we don't even have to look into the future. Interesting things that are being released now that are kind of mind-blowing and new types of things. So.
Well, and I think that what's interesting, too, beyond the technology, is like with VirtuX and the Omni, you know, they really pushed. They went from a Kickstarter launch, which, of course, Oculus was as well, but they went from a Kickstarter launch to then utilizing, and I just talked about this not too long ago on one of the sister shows, but they then went into using equity crowdfunding. So they've actually went from a Kickstarter, which is not equity crowdfunding, but they went from that to opening up under the new options that are available for equity crowdfunding to soliciting investors just last year. And so it's really interesting, not only the way that technology drives, that advances in technology drives gaming, or that gaming desires advance technology, but also those technologies and startups advance, you know, and utilize the different legal and marketing and business platforms that are out there. And given that this is Startup Radio, it's really exciting for me to bring people on and talk about that. But I want to circle back to Zane and ask Zane, you know, where do you see everything Vive going? I mean, Ronnie just mentioned CES. Why weren't you guys in Las Vegas broadcasting live from CES on YouTube or some other platform?
Don't get me wrong.
Your mind?
The thought definitely crossed my mind, and I think the podcast is in a place right now where we're still figuring out exactly what we want it to be. But I have talked with Ronnie about this, and I mean, there are some dates that we're circling for, I guess, conferences or trade shows that will be specifically focused on VR or Vive that, you know, that we should be at, just because, you know, for both of us, we're taking this very seriously, and we want to be able to push it to the next level. And it's great because we've already even got some interest and some help from outside to, you know, just some ideas and things like that to collaborate with others and help bring the podcast to a place where, we're not sure where it'll go, but I mean, we, you know, the idea being that we want to be the top source for, I guess, everything Vive, no pun intended. But like I said,
and would you be taking the wives, the women, the the managers of the household with you on those trips?
I mean, we're in Chicago right now, so a trip to Las Vegas in January, I'm sure they wouldn't mind. But yeah, I mean, I think for us, now that we have our feet under us a little bit and we see what type of community we have and what type of content they like, and we've gotten into a good schedule and rhythm, I think 2017 is actually very exciting for us, just because now we can look at something that we already have a solid foundation laid on, and kind of pick and choose where we want to go next with it. So, yeah, I mean, CES being in January right after the holidays, and with us, like I said, being 4 months removed from starting the podcast completely from scratch.
Maybe next
year. Let's hope definitely next year, right, Ronnie?
Yeah, no, I agree. No, go ahead.
No, I wanted to jump in for a moment, and we'll circle back to conference and so forth. But, you know, I made the comment about your spouses, but I also wanted to make a big point on that, and that is, Ronnie, I know that your spouse is a professional and looking almost in the business space, startups and so forth herself, but at least she's a professional. Zane, I don't know about your spouse, but given their background, have you utilized their insight, either one of you, have you utilized the insight from your spouses in terms of the way that you have gone about the podcast? Have you sought their input in the way that you run it, the guests that you want? We've talked about the timing, so let's leave and getting, you know, their leave for that, but let's put that aside. Have you sought their input, or are they really of the mind that they don't want to be involved in something like this?
I guess I can start. I would say that we've gotten insight and input maybe more so on a casual level rather than something where it was more structured and formal. I don't know about your wife, Ronnie, but my wife doesn't really listen to podcasts, and, you know, she loves VR after we got it, but it's not like the podcast and just all the information diving into the news and tech and stuff like that doesn't necessarily interest her. So it's more so getting feedback on specific maybe aesthetic things with the podcast, or rather things like that, or just general ideas. But I would say it's been for me more so in a casual manner, but it might be different for you, Ronnie.
Yeah, so for me, I mean, it's similar in that, yeah, she's not my wife loves VR and everything, but, you know, she hasn't had a lot of opportunities to spend time with it, you know, as much as she'd want, and she doesn't really follow the news like I do, but she does have a lot of experience, like you were mentioning, Charles, you know, running businesses and, you know, being entrepreneurial in general, and she's been a huge inspiration just in terms of she knows what I like. And she knows what I'm passionate about. And so I think when Zane and I started working on the podcast, she immediately knew, oh, this is something I've been trying to get you to do for forever, you know. And she was totally on board and really supportive, and that super helps. And still to this day, I mean, she knows me and Zane are crazy about this stuff. So she'll, you know, anytime she sees articles or sees or thinks of an interesting idea that might involve virtual reality, she'll kind of forward it to both of us. And and we'll take a look at it. But with that note,
Ronnie, we are coming up here right on the edge of the show, and so I've got to do a few things quickly, but I'd like to invite both of you back. But given this is definitely STEM Daddy and Network, I want to emphasize that you know, we advocate the promoting STEM, science, technology, engineering, math, among all genders. And the reason that I kind of raised that at the last point is I want to emphasize the input that all of our businesses, whether we're men or women, the insight that we need from our compatriots, our partners, and so forth. I want to thank STEM Daddy and Network. I'm looking forward to more guests. And thank you so much for joining. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. We appreciate it.
Thanks again, Charles.
Ready? Okay.
We've got paper. Yes, we do. Wide rolled notebooks, pencils, glue. We got crayons, every hue. School supplies for your whole crew.
Target's got everything you need to ready, set, go back to school. Ready? Okay.
We've got paper. Yes, we do. Wide rolled notebooks, pencils, glue. We got crayons, every hue. School supplies for your whole crew.
Target's got everything you need to ready, set, go back to school.